All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Scott from Koenig, and this is Nick from Koenig, and we are back with another episode of Wheel Wednesday. Nice to see you. Welcome back. Hello. Welcome. Out there.
How's it going? How's your week going, Scott?
Oh, it's going. It's going. Let's see. Last week, I'm like not going to remember what it was. Oh, we dropped a piece of content, and that was on.
We spoke about flow. Actually, Scott spoke about flow.
Oh,
formulas,
right.
But it was a video talking about the flow forming process.
Right. So we talked about the top five things you should know about flow forming, and we went through some of these things, and I think they're really the more major points to what flow forming is. So it's a quick watch. I think it's 5 minutes or so.
Something like that.
And I think that if you are curious, maybe flow forming is something you kind of have a vague idea about, the video is good just to kind of hit you with the major points of where the benefits really are when it comes down to flow forming.
Right.
Right. Maybe in the future we'll plan to do a podcast or a video. Well, maybe something into the effect that will maybe compare some of the other processes to flow forming, right?
Gotcha.
Compare casting, compare forging. You know, at some point we'll talk about multiple piece wheels and different things. You know, the only thing is we've tried really our best at this point to really focus on the things that we make and we do.
Yeah.
Because we don't want it to seem like it's being super critical of something else, right? There's always going to be pros and cons. For example, pros and cons on when you get into, let's say, a three-piece wheel versus a... So we don't want to make it seem like we're ragging on three-piece stuff because we don't sell it, right?
I thought it was more as far as, like, credibility. Like, you guys don't do it, so why are you talking about it? You know, like...
Oh, well, I mean, we're wheel people. I know how wheels work. I mean...
Oh, okay.
So we'll do that. I think one of the things that's relevant, though, is we constantly get, you know, people that are pretty impressed by the fact that flow forming has so many benefits with a cost that's affordable, right? And so, but one of the things is, like, why do some wheels cost so much money, right? Specifically, why do some wheels cost so much money?
I mean, we've mentioned some of the reasons in previous podcasts. One of them being, if you're going for like a custom set of wheels, one-off wheels tend to be a lot more, well, not tend to be, one-off wheels are a lot more expensive.
That's right.
Because they're building custom molds or doing whatever to make the wheel fit for your car, your specific design. As opposed to, like, if you're running a factory, for example, you can produce so many more wheels off of one design.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, and one thing that Nick said, which I think he misspoke, but he's right in the whole thing, is just that, you know, a mold is something that we utilize when we're going to do mass production.
Right.
And the one-off wheels are actually going to be usually machined. They'll be machined out of a piece of solid aluminum, which is usually what you refer to as, you know, the billet stuff. When it comes down to a forged wheel, they would machine the design out of a forge. Happens to me every podcast. I apologize. It's been a late night. Anyhow, but the same type of thing happens when you develop a forged wheel, right? Because no matter how you do it, whether the forgings are done in-house or you buy the forgings, you essentially start off with a forged block of aluminum when we're talking about aluminum forged wheels.
Uh-huh.
And how it works is the design is done basically in a computer model where they can do what's like kind of called FEM, where they can actually determine, you know, how thin can a design be? How does the design have to be to ensure that it will hold up to the load rating and stress that you want it to be at, the standards? And then you take they so all forged wheels and a lot of, like, again, these one-off wheels, they're going to start with a forging, and essentially what ends up happening is your design has to be machined into the wheel. So forging typically has some limitations as far as, you know, there's some things you can do with a cast wheel or a flow form wheel that you can do with a design that you can't do with a forged wheel because the machine's not capable to machine that way, right? With a mold, the wheel has to be made just to be able to release.
So I have so many questions now. The first one being, you said one-off wheels typically are forged. I mean...
No, one-off wheels are typically machined.
Machined.
Right.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Not necessarily forged. I mean, when you do any forged wheel, it's going to have to be machined. There's no...
So, can it... So can it be full-formed?
What?
Like, if I wanted a one-off wheel, if I wanted a custom design...
No, it can't be full-formed. Because you'd have to start with a mold to get the front portion of the wheel, the face of the wheel, to look a certain way.
Okay, I gotcha.
Right? When it comes down to flow forming, there's actually a few things that can be done. The first thing is you could flow form through a barrel. Second thing is you could flow form through a lip. But the face of the wheel...
stays the same.
Yeah. So what happens is every time there's a face change, when, you know, concavity change, that's when a new mold would have been developed in the same size, you know?
So, gotcha. Okay.
Anyhow.
Sleeping. I actually got tired. a fair amount of sleep last night. So the
past two nights, I think I've slept about 6.5 hours.
Collectively.
Yeah. So anyhow... but with that said, you know, often we start talking about the cost of wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I think comes up is people saying, like, oh, like, why is this wheel more expensive than this wheel? Expensive, right? So there's a few different reasons, right? When we start talking about wheels and their cost, there's the first reason, which is that every brand has branding and overheads and real business costs, and there's a real physical cost to them to produce a wheel, right? Like,
right.
That's how much it really costs them to just purely produce the wheel.
Right.
And then there's the secondary costs, things like their marketing, what they do for you, the experience, the packaging, like all the other things that come along with the wheel. And those are, you know, costs, you know, staff, building overheads, you know, essentially, you know, you know how many units you sell a year. That kind of has to get wrapped up
and
into
then,
some of the price.
And then on top of that, there has to be some type of profit in order for...
Yeah, for a business to stay afloat, sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, so there's that part of it, and that's a variable, right? Like, you're going to have some products, some brands, they're going to produce the same quality product, the same manufacturing method, sometimes in the same factory, but the brand's going to be X more expensive than this brand,
mm-hmm.
right? Brand A will be way more expensive than brand B. So the question is, you know, why, if they're the same type of product, quality product, materials, packaging?
Well, because of what you just said, different companies.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so it's a matter of, well, maybe brand, you know, A advertises a whole bunch more and has a big media team, and they, you know, they give you all these things, and you think that the quality is that much better. Maybe brand B doesn't do those things. Maybe brand B doesn't even advertise at all. Maybe brand B just sells those wheels as snow wheels somewhere in Canada. You know what
yeah.
I mean? What I'm saying, though, is not necessarily that one's bad, one's good. What I'm saying is that the intended end use of the product may be slightly different, even though it's the same kind of quality level and whatever. And so there's the determining factor. Is that true all the way around? Not always, no, right? There's some products that are not as good as others.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about wheels. Like, no matter what industry you're in, whether you're in electronics, consumer electronics, whether you're in, you know, appliances for homes, whether you're in, you know, cars, whether you're in tractors. I mean, like,
right.
It's the same thing. There's always going to be those types of people. Some people make private label wheels. whatever it may be. But then there's this other portion of it. When the physical cost of a wheel is more, right? So, like, let's specifically talk about, let's give a good example, like a forged wheel, right? So a forged wheel, first off, is it more expensive to buy a forging than casting a wheel or something like that? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. So buying, a forged piece, because there's already been process done there,
mm-hmm.
right? The aluminum has been put into a shape, into that raw aluminum shape. Then it's been forged, meaning that they pound it down in real, or I mean, not pound down, it's all different kind of math. But it's essentially compressed to the point where now right. that ingot is, is forged.
Mm-hmm.
There's already been time there since the material was raw invested to do something to that.
It's contagious.
So that's why that piece costs more, and that's the starting point.
So with the flow forming process, the raw material is just put right into the mold, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you do a flow form wheel, it's done with a series of molds, right? For example, there's usually a rear mold, there's a front mold, and in some case, yeah, the rear mold and front mold. And the amount of material that's put into those molds, brings a wheel out at a certain width. So if we're going to 18, 10 and a half, maybe the wheel's cast at an 18, 8 or 18, 7 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is then that wheel goes over to the flow forming machine where the wheel is spun under heat. And these dies come in and essentially start doing a pass on the barrel and dragging the barrel out to that width that we're talking about,
right?
And what's happening here is, again, we're compressing the molecular structure of the aluminum, we're changing the grain structure, and we're giving the barrel or the areas of that we're flow forming the wheel similar properties to those found in a forged wheel, because that same compression, is happening. But that's where the cost benefit comes in, where you get a stronger wheel than a traditional cast wheel, but you get weight savings and the whole thing, but a forged wheel is a different animal.
Right. So, they're similar, but how much stronger is a forged wheel by comparison, and how much more compressed, I guess?
So this is a good question, and this is actually something we really should save for another podcast.
Okay.
So Nick's going to write this podcast down when he's editing so that he remembers that we should do it.
I won't get this far into the edit, so you got a pen?
It's all right. let's just use it. Let's use my phone. But we'll come back to this whole thing when we start talking about, which one's stronger kind of thing. But here's the truth. I'm writing the notes here. Where's the
note? Brief intermission. Put like some elevator music in.
You're going to have people that will flat out say, hey, forged wheel is going to be way stronger than a flow form wheel or whatever it may be. They're really different arguments to have. And I'll explain what this means. In a very traditional sense, forging is stronger. But the problem is that now when you start talking about flow forming, there's a lot to the use of the wheel and different things like that to, where it can be on par. And remember that when we build wheels, we're not building wheels for like hammering or anything like that. So when we start building wheels for cars, no matter whether you have a forged wheel or you have a flow form wheel, we're building to certain load ratings.
Right?
So, in theory, if you have a full-form wheel that's built to 690 kg, which is around 1,521 pounds per wheel, and you have a full-form wheel that's built to 690 kg at 1,521, there are properties of each wheel that are going to be different,
mm-hmm.
okay? So you can compare weight on those wheels, and there'll be a difference. You can compare, things like, like a cast wheel. A cast wheel will tend to have a little bit of bend to it before it has a break, whereas a forged wheel, when it suffers that catastrophic, it tends to crack or it doesn't bend nearly as easy. So now there's pros and cons to both of those. I know that seems like it may be not, but if you watch the last video, we actually talk about why a bend could be more preferred than a crack.
Right?
One's going to release air much faster than the other. And it could mean the difference between finishing out or driving home or, you know, completing the end of a race versus off track, done, over.
Yeah.
Now, again, that's not taking a shot. There's just pros and cons, and that's just pure fact of how materials react, right?
Yeah.
But when it comes down to comparing the strength of something, remember that at the end of the day, if you're building this thing, what's heavier, a 10-pound bag of feathers or 10 pounds of sand? Do you know what I mean? What? No, I'm serious, though.
No, I like it because I'm actually thinking back out a while back. There was like a meme on Facebook like right. that, and like some people like were actually guessing like, "Oh, sand is heavier," and it's like
right. So it's like, and so actually, this is a much better example than I started with. I think this is good. All so right. 10 pounds of feathers, 10 pounds of sand, both weigh 10 pounds. No change there.
Nope.
The feathers are going to be lighter. No, sorry. The feathers are going to be more pliable and softer than the sand will be in a bag.
Yes.
So again, same weight, different properties, right? And that's kind of the fair analogy to when you compare the two, right? But let's go one step further, because we were talking, the whole thing about this was cost.
Yes.
Right? So when we start talking about, let's look at the process. Again, flow forming comes out of a mold, and then we're able to do work to the wheel afterwards. So there's going to be a higher cost there because than compared to a traditional cast wheel. Because a traditional cast wheel comes out of the mold and goes to be sanded and inspected and then finished and stuff like that. Well, the flow forming wheel... has other steps.
Yeah, after the mold, it comes out.
It has to be stretched, yeah. Right? So the dies have to be multiple passes. That takes time. It's not something that doesn't happen real fast. It's something that actually happens quite slowly.
Right.
So there's the production time there. Then the wheel has to go to be final machined. So you're basically, you may have some edges. It gets cleaned up. It gets, final machined to make everything smooth and whatever it may be. And then it starts on the process of getting finished and machine, and cleaned up and stuff like that. A forged wheel is, again, the processes happen before you even get the forging. Then you start with the forging. Then the forging has to go on to a CNC machine, and the design has to be cut into the forging. And that's how a forged wheel is created. Now there's different types. So we know there's multiple piece wheels. One piece, two piece, three piece. So, does that still apply for forged wheels? And the answer is yes.
Okay. I have two questions based off of what you just said.
Okay.
The first one being is, you said there's an initial cost because work was already done when you get the forge before machining.
The forging,
Mm-hmm. Is that specific cost in the sense of, making a one-off wheel? Like, if I wanted to do a one-off flow form wheel, will the cost of that forged, I guess, aluminum block or whatever it is costs more than if I was to say, hey, can you make a mold so that way we can do a flow form wheel instead of a forged wheel?
No, it costs a lot more to make a mold to develop one set of wheels than it would to take a forging and have it machined. And that's why when people say, do I want custom wheels, they're immediately, or they'll email us and they'll say, can you do a set of custom wheels? And the answer is, well, no, not really, because we don't do that type of thing. And if we had started to do something that was machined or whatever OAB, that would be an option. And there's a reason when we start saying, well, you can get a custom set of wheels with your design in it, but you have to understand that it's going to be more costly. And the reason it's more costly is because you're now paying somebody
to make that mold.
Well, remember, the process is what you pay for. Not just the product, right? You pay for the process, which means you're paying somebody then to develop the design in CAD, to FEM it and test it and make sure that in the computer it will hold the loads that you need for whatever. To then set that design up on and program it into a machine to then take the material, whether it's a regular billet piece of aluminum or forged piece of aluminum, and cut that machine out. And then you're paying for all the time it takes
to do that
for that CNC machine wheel. And then once you get there, now it can be sanded and cleaned up and finished and put into a box, right? So if you really look at it like that, and you try to look at costs, and again, then we have the A's and the B's, right? Like the A is that whole thing about marketing and this and that, and right? And so now you apply those onto the finished goods, right? But right off the bat, there's two different types of costs. There's the A costs, which we talk are price point and different things, experience, you know, marketing, overhead, stuff like that. And then there's the B costs, which is the actual materials, the actual wheel, the actual production. And so that, but even when you start with just looking at the B costs, right? Those B costs are they're variables. And so just keep that in mind. Like when you're looking at wheels, when you're considering wheels, when you're asking why do these cost so much or what, because there's significant time that goes into producing those products, and you're not just paying for the cost of aluminum, the cost of forged aluminum, the cost of a box. You're paying for the labor time, the paint time, the, you know what I mean? It's all inclusive. It's all part of it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm with you.
All right. So the second question I have based on what you just said is, you know, you said you can get different types of designs or like little things here and there in a flow form that you can't with casting because of the mold. What types of things?
So they're usually,
other things like in this countergram right here.
Right.
That you can point out that you wouldn't be able to do in, like, the forge wheel?
I don't know. That might be...
Or is it more so, like, things in, like, this area, like, in the back here?
Yeah, you know, look, like, I mean, the thing is that, like, when you look at a forged wheel, like, in other words, there's only so much you can do. Forged wheels typically have a very interesting shape to the spoke. Like, if you look, like, because it's all one piece and different things, there's just some things inherently that you can't machine in on a CNC, whereas a mold, it has a little bit more flexibility to, as long as it releases from the mold, it could be done.
Right.
So forged wheels, they typically have a little bit more of a flow. I'm not saying there's not intricate work that can be done on a CNC. There is. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that there are some differences. I wish I had like a really good example, and maybe I'll try to come up with one for next week or something if people are curious.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, you know, just, you know, when we start comparing costs of wheels and different stuff like that, just keep in mind, like, try to think about the wheel and break the cost down in your head, right? Because I think it's actually, like, if you really think about it from a very mechanical standpoint, I think when you're pricing out product and you're trying to figure out what works for you, also trying to figure out, you know, which product, like, where's the cost coming from? Maybe that helps you prioritize your spending, right? Like, if you're, you know, if you're like, all right, well, you know, I need to have a forged wheel, but I have a budget or whatever it is. All right, well, are there, out of all the forged wheels that are options for your vehicle, are there, you know, does this brand do a lot more marketing? Is that why the price is so high? Is, like, does this brand come from, you know, a place that's far away, and there's freight included in that whole thing.
Trying to gauge if the price equals.
Is it the product or is it just the process?
Is it the product or the process of the specific brand that's making it cost more money?
Right.
Because cheaper doesn't always more expensive doesn't always mean better.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't always mean better, but there are some things that lead to more expensive costs. Flow forming versus typical traditional cast wheel is a great example of that. It takes a lot longer to make a flow form wheel. Mm-hmm. It just does. Like, so.
Yeah, because like you said, there's more steps.
There's more steps.
The cast wheel goes from the mold right to.
You know, out to final machining and finishing, stuff like that. Whereas that flow form wheel has to go onto a flow forming machine first,
and then go to those,
and then
steps.
Go to that stuff. You know, and so, you know, it takes a lot longer, and that's why the cost ends up being there. So, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of options there for wheels, and you know, we've spoken about this so many times that, you know, the choice is really up to you, and the burden for making sure that you choose the right product really falls on you, right? And I don't think we've talked about this. This might be actually another good point for a podcast.
Make another note.
So.
Wow. I got the next few weeks just dialed in.
Yeah. All right. So basically, you know, the burden does fall on you. You know, at the end of the day, you may have a friend that recommends. You may have a motorsport, you know, retail store that recommends. You may have a retail tire chain that recommends. You may read recommendations on a forum. All of those things. You also may do some own homework and find some things that you like. But remember, at the end of the day, if you're the one buying the wheels and they're going in your car, really is up to you to do the research to decide which brand and which product is good and really the right fit for your needs and your application.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, it's a tough thing. You know, we're in a society and in a culture where it tends to be a little bit more of a follow me generation. You know, one person gets them, they like them, they buy them. The next friend sees those, likes them, they buy them. And, you know, and then there's the people out there that are trying to do something different and, you know, the doubts of the world. So that's it. I don't know. Do we have
a low blow to doubt?
It wasn't a low blow. So I don't know. That's kind of the deal, right?
Yeah.
What else we got coming on? We have something going on this Friday. We're still working on that.
What it is exactly?
Not sure.
We're not sure.
But hopefully there'll be another.
But there is stuff in the works.
Yeah. There's stuff going on. So make sure you go ahead and. We didn't do it at the beginning. You know. But anyhow, if you're still with us, make sure you subscribe down below and smash that like button for us.
Hit the bell notification.
Yeah, get the bell thing, man. If you guys missed out on that giveaway that was just not too long ago, you missed out.
Yeah. And
missed out. We did it right through YouTube.
We did it through YouTube, and you know, those that were subscribed and regular viewers of our podcast are the ones that benefited the most.
I believe that all three winners were active listeners to the podcast.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because you just know, like, it might have taken you a few more minutes. Maybe there was an answer you missed or whatever it may be. But, like, for the most part, you know, they were just with us. So be part of our community. Hang out with us.
And they all also responded within, like, the first hour or so.
It was pretty quick
making that announcement video. So shout out to those guys.
Right.
Anyways,
so we have something coming Friday. Hopefully the kickback is coming on tomorrow. Again, we are planning to go live today. I don't know exactly what time, but check our Instagram for that. We may have to do it a little earlier. But we'll put it on Instagram and we will let you know exactly what time. Come join us for the live. We usually do it every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. Tomorrow may be the only difference. So if you're around, come hang out with us. Make sure you check out the content we dropped last week, which is the top five things you should know about flow forming. And I don't know. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Hope you have a good week. And I don't know. Take care of yourself.
Peace.